Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country via another route. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning to you all, and to those of you who are watching online. Over the last few weeks, we've been unwrapping the gifts of Advent. We've seen how Jesus brings us real hope, real peace, and real joy. And the question that we're always asking ourselves when we're looking at a text from the Bible is this: what are we going to learn from our text today? Isn't that an important question? It's the question we need to ask ourselves whenever the Bible is taught. And it's even more important these days when the Advent season is crushed full of misleading alternatives to the real Jesus. And so we need to strip back the floss of our cultural Christmas to see what Christmas is really all about. And the only way we're going to do that is by sensible understanding, explanation of the text of the Bible. Now today, as Paul has outlined, we've reached the theme of love. And we're going to look at this theme as the text explains it through these two points: where and what happened. Now, I've got a close friend who knows a lot about the night sky. He's often relating stories of the planets and the stars, and I've usually missed seeing most of them. Being city-based, we rarely notice the night sky until we're out in the countryside. But in the time of Jesus, things were very different. People never neglected the night sky. The study of the stars and the planets were a fine art because all of this was directly connected to the world. And when something important happened on Earth, it would be reflected in the heavens. Alternatively, a remarkable event in the heavens meant something important was happening on Earth. Now, there's been speculation about what the wise men saw. Was it Halley's Comet? Unlikely, because the 12th to 11th BC date makes it a little bit too early. Was it a supernova? In the 7th century BC, the planets Saturn and Jupiter were in conjunction with each other three times. And since Jupiter was known as the royal planet or kingly planet, and Saturn was sometimes thought to represent the Jews, then the conclusion was obvious. A new king of the Jews was to be born on Earth. Well, we don't know, but maybe something similar happened. We cannot be certain if this is why the wise men came from the east. But thoughtful astronomers or astrologers noticing strange events in the heavens would certainly search out counterparts on Earth. And if they were quite well off and wealthy, they would be able to travel in order to look. And it's very likely that they would have looked around in different places. And so Matthew, in our text here, is not just satisfying astronomical curiosity. But what he is saying is dynamite. Verse 1, Jesus is born. Herod is on the throne. Our theme is love. But we have to understand that this is contested love. Matthew is presenting Jesus as the true King of the Jews. And the Magi have confirmed it, and they want to do the right thing. What is the right thing? Well, verse 2 tells us, worship Jesus. Herod is not their king. He's a false one. He's an outsider. He's a usurper. Now, this Herod that was king while Jesus was born died quite soon after Jesus' birth. But his sons ruled on, and one of them, Herod Antipas, plays a significant role in the story of Jesus Christ. But he did not like others claiming to be king of the Jews. None of them liked that phrase. Jesus is the king of the Jews. That is a threat. The Magi, where do they come from? Certainly from the east. Was it Babylon? Was it China? There was already contact between China and Rome at the time of Jesus' birth. The Silk Road existed from the 3rd century and was a vital commercial link. And we know that by 110 BC, the Chinese had very accurate maps of the Mediterranean region. They also had a strong tradition for astrology. And before the Han Dynasty, the Chinese had discovered a star which they called the King Star. And in a very long book, they expressed their belief that when this star appeared, a king would be born. And it was at its most brilliant during the Han Dynasty. Whatever the reality of all of this, and we can't be certain about any of it particularly, it does show us one important thing. The important thing is this. There was a worldwide interest in the birth of Jesus Christ. And in the same way, there will be a worldwide interest when Jesus Christ returns. Nothing less will do. So where did all this take place? Verse 3 tells us it took place in Jerusalem. Herod was disturbed, and so was everybody else. So what did he do? He called together the theologians, known as the chief priests and teachers of the law, hoping that they would know when the Messiah was to be born. You might call these people, in contemporary parlance, influencers. They controlled the religious life of the Jews, but they were apathetic. They knew where the Messiah was to be born. They were scriptural professionals. But this news came to them from Herod, when they were the ones who should have been telling Herod what was happening in Bethlehem. You see, for these people, all of what we're talking about had absolutely no impact on their lives. And what Jesus would say to them later on was this: you neither know the scriptures nor the power of God. That's what he said to the religious leaders. And you could probably say that to many of the religious leaders that we have to put up with today. Romans 1, 22 to 24 describes such intellectuals as wise who became fools. And brothers and sisters, we are surrounded by them today. They didn't even check it out. And we are fools ourselves if we do not check out the teaching of the Bible. I often think that our politicians would be wiser to include some theologians in their advisory councils, as well as the usual suspects. But if they were like this lot, then there'd be no use at all. So this is what Herod did. And what was the answer? Where? It's going to be Bethlehem. This is one of the five prophecies that Matthew mentions in chapters 1 and 2 of his book. And all of these prophecies put together show that Jesus is the Messiah. Not only is he the Messiah, but he also fulfills Old Testament prophecies. And in each of these scenes, a key place is taken by a reference to prophecy. What Matthew is teaching is this. This is how you will rightly understand Jesus as announced many centuries before. If, for you, it would seem surprising that Jesus should be born or conceived out of wedlock, born in a small town such as Bethlehem rather than Jerusalem, hurried off to Egypt as a baby, indirectly responsible for the deaths of scores of other baby boys, and eventually returning to be brought up in unfashionable Nazareth, then you have to consider one fact, and that is this. Every single one of those realities about the Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of in the Old Testament, in the Messianic prophecies. It was not new information. You could have known that beforehand if you were looking. But if you weren't, you would have missed it. Now, remember this. Matthew is answering the question, who is Jesus and where did he come from? It is an important teaching that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who would bring in the new covenant and radically change how people related to the living God, was signposted in the Old Testament. And so we find that not only do we have the Old Testament prophecies, but we have references by Jesus when he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me." And does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Many of these prophecies have been called messianic prophecies because they point to the Messiah. And we will see that the way that Matthew uses the quotes is an example of using all of the knowledge that he has in order to give us the fullest impression and description of Jesus Christ. And we should all be edified by this teaching. I'm under the theme of where. Well, the answer again is Bethlehem. As you know, the quote that Matthew uses comes with a hint of the tension which we have already described. It is the visit of the Magi to Bethlehem via Jerusalem and the involvement of King Herod. He is shocked to hear that there is a king of the Jews. What? Another king? I thought I was king. So he's immediately attendant to what he's hearing. The king of the Jews will be born in Bethlehem. And here we have an important fulfillment. In verse 5, it says, "It is written about where Jesus was born, and it was given because the Magi came from the east to worship Jesus." Now, this prophecy, if you want to read it yourself, you can find in the book of Micah. It's an original, future-orientated prophecy when Micah calls the people in the face of imminent disaster that there is a better day coming. And what he says is startling. this better day will come out of insignificant Bethlehem. And Israel will be restored by someone, verse 6, who is a shepherd of the people. Out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Well, now, what did Jesus say? In John chapter 10, he said, I am the good shepherd. The Bible teaches us that we are like sheep who have gone astray. We need a shepherd. And that's what's been prophesied by Micah, that out of Bethlehem there will come one who is going to shepherd his people. And he will bring security, and his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. No wonder Herod was angry. Foreigners are coming to worship the King of the Jews. That's startling. No one would do that if they had any sense. To come from afar as a foreigner into Israel to worship the King of the Jews. We hear a lot about location, 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 don't we? Well, some of you might if you watch certain programs. But in this prophecy, location is central. It's fulfilled, as we're seeing, in the text that we're talking about. Bethlehem is specific. It could not have been anywhere else. It could not have been Shechem. It could not have been Shiloh. It could not have been Beersheba. And at the time of Micah, when Micah was writing, Bethlehem was significant as being the birthplace of King David. And it was associated with David's dynasty, King David in the Old Testament. This is really significant. Why? After David, future kings would have been expected to be born in where? Jerusalem. The future ideal king will be of David's lineage, but he also represents a discontinuity with that kingship by not being born in Jerusalem. He's born in Bethlehem. You see, the king is not just in the line of David. He is a new David. You see, and the point of this prophecy was not just some random geographical detail that doesn't have any significance, but actually a concept about the nature of the king based on a past detail of history. It was a very specific prophecy, not just random speculation, and teaching us much more than the words actually say when you understand the context where Micah gave this prophecy. Okay, where? But what happened? Herod. What does Herod do? He moves into the normal operative world of a ruler. He calls the Magi in secret, verse 7, to get more information. He's wise. He sees a bit of a chance here. They can do the work for me. Isn't that great? I get the Magi to do what I need to do, what my spies should have done. And he commands them to go to Bethlehem. He tells them to carefully search for the child and to let him know as soon as possible when you have identified him, verse 8. And then comes the lie. Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me. So what? So that I may go and worship him. That is a lie. And this is just about the last thing that Herod is going to do. In fact, all of what we're talking about now is going to lead to mass murder. Anyway, the Magi headed out, guided by the star, to where Jesus was, and they were overjoyed. They worshipped Jesus and gave him gifts. And the Magi shows us something Matthew wants us to be clear about. The new king, in the line of David, but discontinuous, as I've just explained, is not limited to the Jewish people. The new king will rule the world. And gifts were appropriate to bring to kings or gods. And Jesus will meet with the representative of the earthly king when he comes before Pilate. And Pilate has different gifts to give to Jesus. The first one was he gave him Barabbas. The second one, his soldiers are the first to call Jesus King of the Jews. But the crown that Jesus has is made of thorns, and his throne is a cross, not a bright star, but darkness. And in that darkness, one non-Jewish, one Gentile voice penetrates the darkness. When the centurion, those with him who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." And so what Matthew is saying to us is, listen to the whole story. Think about who Jesus is and what he went through. And when you've done that, come to him with the best gifts that you have. As we prepare for Advent and Christmas, one obvious theme is this theme of the kingship of Jesus. We use royal language a lot when we talk about Jesus, but we seldom pause to think what exactly that ought to mean, both when we talk about Jesus himself or when we think about leadership and government in the world. And this is a great moment to reflect on God's vision for human government and indeed God's vision for a healthy human society. And there's one psalm that feeds into all that we've been saying this morning, and that is Psalm 72. You see, Psalm 72, which was written for the king, holds out a vision of a world aflame with glory, a world in which justice is done, especially for the poor and for those who have nobody to speak for them. This is a vision of a king to whom the kings of the earth come, bearing gifts because he is doing what they know they should be doing, but they're not doing. Namely, delivering the needy when they call out, having pity on the weak and the poor, and rescuing the helpless from the greedy, the oppressive, and the violent. This is love in action. And it's time to glimpse the biblical vision of God's kingdom. And Psalm 72 is picked up by Matthew in announcing the birth of Jesus, because Matthew's magi bring gifts to the baby Jesus, who are obviously fulfilling the prophecies of this psalm about the gifts brought by the kings of Sheba and Seba. And it may be implicit in the reference to this psalm, which in popular imagination has turned the magi into actual kings. And this morning, as we look on the theme of love, is the love we speak of about this time of the year. But as I've said already, it is a contested love. We're not going to just drip into loving this, loving that, loving the other, where love enables us to do anything we like because we love. No, this is love that is contested because Jesus has come as the king into a world which doesn't want him to be king. And Herod tells the Magi to return and inform him about the King of Jews. But when their visit is over, they are warned in a dream not to go back to Jerusalem, and they went another way. And that makes Herod very angry. And brothers and sisters, we may be talking about love, but I want you to understand one thing. People have been angry with Jesus ever since. Amen.